Bonefish Grill is now open in the Concord Mills Mall at entrance number 2. Indulge this holiday season at our new location and celebrate with dishes like new lobster, crab, and artichoke dip, delectable fresh Oscar mahi-mahi, and miso-yaki Chilean sea bass. Pair these with the handcrafted guest favorite cocktail, the Winter White Cosmo, and delicious chocolate creme brulee for dessert. If you're looking for holiday gifts in addition to a great meal, receive a $10 bonus card for every $50 you purchase in gift cards at the Concord Mills Mall Bonefish Grill, now through December 31st.
Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, no song. Welcome to Blood, Bats, and Books on Vamp Radio. Tonight is Saturday, June 6th. Tonight's show is hosted by Ange.
Hi.
And myself, Ashley. Tonight...
And today on, we have a special guest, Jim Beaver.
Jim Beaver is an actor, playwright, and film historian, as well as an author, of course. Best known as Ellsworth on Deadwood and as Bobby Singer on Supernatural. Tonight, he's here to talk with us about his memoir, Life That Way. Welcome, Jim.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
We're really excited to have you on. You have no idea.
Well, you haven't talked to me yet, so that may change.
No, that only means that we'd be more excited. There's no way you could kill the excitement. So, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. I'm just sitting around here under the rainy gray skies of Los Angeles.
Sounds too bad.
Yeah.
Sounds okay. So we're just gonna jump right into asking you questions, and Ann has the first one.
Okay.
All right. Well, first I want to say that I loved your book so much. It was like
Thank you very much.
I realized that you spoke of how you cried a lot, and I know this is gonna sound very sexist, but I know men have a hard time expressing their emotions. And I was wondering if it was hard for you to type in the beginning how you cried.
No. I mean, it wasn't. I realize I may not be like every guy out there, but I grew up with a very strong sense that a strong man wasn't afraid to cry, and he wasn't afraid to admit it. Being afraid to admit it, I think, makes you appear less strong, not stronger. So, my father had was a very strong man, very I think, you know, tough and uncompromising, and yet when he was touched by something deeply, he was never afraid to cry, and I think I picked that up from him. I've never worried about that. By the time we got to editing the book, I took out a few references because I didn't want people to think that that's all I was doing. But you know, we were cutting out 2/3 of what I had originally written anyway. So a lot of things got cut for reasons just of length. But no, that's never been anything that I worried about. Somebody else thinks I got too emotional. Well, that's their worry, not mine.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I like that, though.
Yeah,
shouldn't be afraid to cry, you know, male or female. It just seems that the reason she asked, is it just seems that, you know, men are more shy about that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I've seen lots of very, very strong men cry when your world is crumbling. I think you're a fool not to express what's going on inside you, however that takes its shape. And anybody who thinks that strong men don't cry doesn't really know much about being a strong man, I think.
Yeah. Exactly. If you don't let out how you feel, it makes it worse anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Next question. You know, the emails were written for exactly 1 year, date to date, and personally when I read them, it felt more like you were writing a journal rather than sending out these emails to people, and I was just wondering, is that how you meant to write them, more than a journal rather than these email updates?
Well, in the beginning, it was all kind of a newsletter. It was a way of keeping family and friends up to date, because family and friends wanted very badly to know everything that was going on with us. When the journal began, when we discovered that my wife Cecily had lung cancer, and she had a zillion friends and a zillion family members, and they all wanted to know, you know, what was happening with us and what could they do and what was next and what did we expect. And at first it was just a way of keeping everyone up to date. But, you know, when you're going through something long term, there are days when nothing particular happens, or you don't learn something new about your situation, or you don't have plans for the next day. So there were times when there wasn't any of that stuff to write, and it was then that I began to feel like, well, maybe it would be nice for people to understand what this feels like and what we're going through besides just the day-to-day activities. And so, in a sense, it changed into a journal, but it was always a journal that I felt like I was communicating with someone. It wasn't just for me. I think it would have been very helpful just for me, but I don't think I would have done it just for me. I wrote every night, even though most nights I just wanted to go to bed, and it was an incredibly exhausting period. And yet, I felt a responsibility to sit down for an hour, 2 hours every night, and say this stuff. Because an awful lot of people were expecting it, and I had sort of committed to the idea. I never felt like it was so personal that there wasn't anybody else involved. I always felt like I was talking to somebody.
Yeah.
So I guess that answers your question.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
Well, I'm trying to see this paper. I guess you just said that kind of felt like it was your responsibility and stuff to tell your story and everything to these people.
Mm-hmm.
But now that you published your book, does it feel like kind of like the same thing that you want to tell your story and how you felt? I don't know how to, like, because you kind of like answer this question, but.
Yeah, well, you know, in turning it into a book, it was less about telling my story,
mm-hmm.
and more about trying to shine some light on the path for other people who might have similar stories. In the course of writing it, I discovered, I wasn't expecting this at all, but I discovered that people were getting something out of it beyond just a story, that they were learning about how to approach similar things in their own lives and how to how to live with some of the burdens and that come with both a devastating illness or with grief, and it was only afterwards that I really understood that somehow or other this journal of mine had turned out to be helpful, and it was then that I decided that maybe it could be a book, and I got a lot of encouragement along that line, and so the book was I had already told my story to the extent that I really needed to with the original journal. Doing it as a book was more a way of sharing everything I had learned, and that seemed pretty important to me. Pardon?
Everybody, it would be important, it's not necessarily about, cancer or losing a loved one, but, everybody can take something away from it.
Well, that's the thing. I don't, my personal sad story is not reason enough to do this. Everybody's got a sad story, or they will have one. That's not a distinctive enough reason. What's meaningful to me is the idea that people can maybe read this and realize that there are good ways to handle some of these issues, and that there are things to be learned and mistakes that I made that maybe they won't make. I don't want to at all diminish the value to people of realizing that they're not alone, that they're not the only ones who've gone through something like this. A lot of my mail since the book came out has been from people who said that they thought they were the only one who had ever had feelings like mine, and that they were very helped just to know that somebody else had been through something like this, and that they weren't isolated in that experience. So, there was another side of it too, and that's that my wife Cecily was a terrific dame, and I just love the idea of sharing her with people who never got a chance to know her. So together those seem like pretty good reasons.
The next question I'm going to ask, don't have to answer if you don't want to, but While I was reading it, your daughter Madeline she was
mm-hmm.
such a big part of the book, and it's been, you wrote it, it was 2003 or 2004, so it's been at least
mm-hmm.
5 or 6 years, and I was just curiosity wondering, how she was doing, with everything, because she was so little. When everything happened, if she was still, doing as good as she seemed when you were writing all the emails.
She's doing very well. She was 2 years old during the course of most of that year, and she was going through a lot of her own personal issues, having been diagnosed as autistic at 2, and of course the illness and loss of her mother, and it was a tough year for her. But she's done remarkably well. She's 7 now, almost 8, And she's still got things she's dealing with. She's old enough now that she's some of the impact of the loss of her mother is only just now beginning to register with her, I think, emotionally. And she's dealing with some of that, but she's a smart, bright kid. She's charming and funny, and she's a handful, but she's terrific. She's doing very well, thank you.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that is really good. It was just, you know, it kind of struck you because she's, you know, was so little, and you just wonder, you know, how children, when they're that small, how they take something so hard like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, she, I won't say it was easy, but at the same time, I think in some ways it was a blessing for her that she was so young, because the full impact on her, I think, was spread out over several years rather than the, she knew her mom was gone, and it was distressing to her. But I don't think she realized the full impact of what had happened. And she got to sort of gradually come to understand that. I think that a child who loses a parent at the age she is now probably has a much more difficult time of it.
Yeah.
I don't know, though. I mean, this is all new territory for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ashley, you ready to take some calls?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to bring in Nikki.
Okay.
Nikki.
Hello.
Hi, Nikki.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very excellent. Actually, I have to be honest. I'm a tiny bit nervous.
Why are you nervous?
I'm such a huge fan. I'm just a tiny bit nervous.
Well, how huge are you?
Well, not
I'm giving you a hard time.
Not a physical sense.
I thought maybe you were 7'2" or something. So.
No, I'm normal size, unfortunately.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. I won't make fun of that.
Well, I haven't read the book, which I fully intend to read the book. I just haven't had the chance to do it yet. But I am a huge Supernatural fan, of course.
Yeah.
And you probably knew that was going to come up.
Well, there's a couple of you out there.
Yeah. The last season, season 4, the best episode, in my opinion, was when the levee breaks,
mm-hmm.
When Sam is locked in the panic room.
Yeah.
And I think as far as Bobby is, as far as his character goes, we've
mm-hmm.
seen a little bit of him at a time, you know, as
uh-huh.
the seasons have gone on. But when we got to that episode, it was like, I don't know how to put it in words. It was like we saw so much more of him as a person.
Yeah.
As far as his support for Dean and you know, where to go from where they were at.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, do you agree with that, or do you feel like, I mean, he's not a huge, huge character, but he is a very defining character in the story.
I think so. I didn't really expect Bobby to grow into this, you know, a character of this importance to the show, or of this much effect in the show. But I think it's, you know, that's the nice thing about the way the show has worked out so far. And some of it's just logistics involving my availability to do the show. I'm not there every episode, and so I think when Bobby shows up, he gets a lot of attention paid to him, and I in one sense I really like finding out things about him piecemeal and finding out and seeing how the relationship grows between him and the boys, kind of piecemeal. That's not to say I like not being in episodes. I always miss it when I'm not there. As far as that one episode goes, I can't think of anything about it that's sort of surprised me in terms of new information about Bobby. But it's always good to see how the two boys relate to him and how he relates to them. And I finally got to have a really nice emotional scene with Jared, which it seems like I spent an awful lot of time one-on-one with Jensen in the show. But before Jared popped me in the face with that shotgun, we had a nice conversation. But, you know, that's the problem with this show. Every time you get a nice conversation going, somebody either hits you in the face with a shotgun or their eyes turn black and smoke comes out of their mouth. So, you know, you can't get a good conversation going.
Well, it's the thought that counts, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I thank you so much for speaking with me. It was a pleasure.
Oh, my pleasure, Nikki. My pleasure. Keep watching.
I definitely will.
I suspect you will. I'll give you a little scoop. I haven't. Looks like I'm back for the first two episodes of season 5. So we just made that deal yesterday. So I know I'm back for the first two.
Well, I can't.
I can't either. Of course, you'll have to because it's a long way off.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Yeah.
Denver's too far away.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Have a good night. You're welcome.
Okay, you too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Before we pick up our next caller, I'm pretty sure you can't answer this question, but is Henry the killer?
Oh, boy, the way to change gears. Well, I'll tell you something. If I were to tell you who the killer is, the president of CBS would come over to my house and kill me. So I'm not going to.
It's so funny. I have it on my TV. I have it on Harper's Island right now. It's muted. But I hear it in my brother's room. I hear it in the living room. And I hear it in the kitchen. And then I hear him screaming back and forth, "Oh, no, the little girl's missing."
Well, I can't tell you. I would just say that we're about halfway through the series, and there are some huge surprises coming. So don't think you've figured out anything yet, because whatever, it's kind of like life. Whatever you think is going to happen probably isn't going to happen.
So I should go back to my original thought, and my original thought was you.
Me? Sweet little old me?
Either you or Abby.
Well, we shall see, won't we?
Yeah, we're going to have to wait and watch.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll tell you this. A month from now, you'll have a pretty good idea.
Okay. Here's our next caller. 386, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey.
Hello. Hey.
I just want to let you know, my name's Mike. I'm in Florida. I'm a huge fan of yours. I've been a fan of yours on Supernatural, and I'm totally hooked on Harper's Island. So I just want
to thank you
for the job you're doing.
Let me ask you a question.
Which do you enjoy more, which series?
Which do I enjoy more?
Yeah,
well,
Supernatural, Harper's Island.
You know, that's kind of, it's kind of hard to say because I've been doing Supernatural for 3 or 4 years now, and that's very much like, it's kind of like transferring to a different school your senior year. You may like the new place, but it's not as familiar or as comfortable as the old place, simply because you haven't been there as long. And of course, Harper's, as far as my work on it is concerned, is over. So I had a great time working on the show, and it was really nice to play a character pretty different from Bobby. I guess I'd probably have to say that, put it this way, Supernatural is home. It just feels like whenever I'm there, it just feels like I'm home with my family. And while I really, really love a lot of the people that I met and worked with on Harper's Island, I simply haven't known most of them as long or as intimately as I have the gang on Supernatural. So I wouldn't, you know, if they said, well, Supernatural's over, and we want you to come back for 5 years of Harper's Island, I wouldn't mind that, in the sense of I wouldn't mind working with the Harper's Island guys again and again and again. But as it stands right now, I just, you know, I love Supernatural, love the guys on it, love the crew, and we're all very fond of each other and happy to be working together. So I don't know if that answers your question. It's certainly long-winded enough to.
No, it did great. And again, thank you so much for your work. I love your shows, and you keep on doing what you're doing, okay?
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Mike.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
You made me, like, a tear come out of my eye a minute ago when you said Supernatural will be over.
Well, hey, it's over every Thursday night at 10.
But then I just pop in the DVDs. No, your character on Supernatural, I think Bobby needs his own show. If it
oh,
does,
really?
After the fifth season, like Eric says, you know, he only had 5 seasons planned out. If it does get canceled, I think they should follow Bobby.
You realize I'm going to be 212 years old by then, so.
Wow. You still watch if you're walking around in a walker.
Well, I may have to have you put that in writing, because the CW may not believe it if I tell them.
Well, they can go read their message board, because they've already said that on the message board. That's where I got the idea from.
Oh, wow. Well, that's nice. That's nice. I'm flattered. Well, who knows what'll happen? Who knows? I know the networks are always looking for guys my age to star in a show. So, yeah, right. When, you know, they'd much rather have me than a couple of hunks like Jared and Jensen.
Bobby's better looking.
Where do you live, girl?
North Carolina.
Aha.
But I was actually in Vancouver back in 2007, and I spent like a couple of weeks actually on set. We just followed you guys around too. It was really fun. And
Was I there?
Part. Actually, I did not get to meet you.
Oh, okay. I was.
They were filming the last three episodes, and every time we were on the set, it was just Jensen and Jared.
Aha. Uh-huh. Just those guys.
But we did see your trailer. up there.
Yeah, well, you know, it's hard to miss. It's almost 6 feet long, so.
Yeah, I wanted a star trailer. Those were nice. But we actually are planning a trip. A bunch of us girls are actually going up next year.
Uh-huh.
We do a show here on Vamp Radio for Twilight, and we're going to go up for the filming of the third and the fourth movie. And
uh-huh.
Hopefully I can bring the girls around and let them meet you and Jensen and Jared. And
oh, that'd be cool.
All so friendly.
Well, I hope I'm there when you are.
Yeah, I would love to meet you. Hopefully we'll get some more callers here. Ashley, Ange, do you have any more questions about the book? Because I'm really upset with Ashley and Ange.
Why?
Because they've never seen Supernatural, and they've never seen Harper Island.
Yeah, see, exactly.
Well, you bunch of communists.
I haven't seen Harper's Island because we do this show every week, and it's on right now.
Yeah, somebody ought to invent something that you can record TV shows on.
Yeah, they should.
Yeah.
I only own a VCR and it's broken.
Well, or somebody should invent some sort of machine that you could like download the shows from.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe someday somebody will come up with something like that.
You know. The CW.
Am I being sarcastic enough?
No, they were here to interview about the book. Both of them actually went out and got the book, and they read it, like, within a week, so I'm happy they did
mm-hmm.
that.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
So, girls, do you have any more questions?
Yeah.
We have a ton.
Yeah. Which one,
I think Ange's question is next.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, just to jump back into things. Before you were talking about how when you wrote, it was, kind of felt like your responsibility and how it was kind of like comforting, you know?
Uh-huh.
I'm wondering if you still write for comfort, because I do. I don't know if you do.
Yeah, I finished writing the emails on a nightly basis there in October of 2004. But I still occasionally send out updates, just, you know, letting people who followed along during that year know what's going on with me and Maddie. And also whenever I feel like I've got something I want to get off my chest or that I want to share. And a year or two ago, I started also posting those on my MySpace blog. So, yeah, I still do. I don't do it as often as I used to. But that period was a period of extremely deep emotions. Writing them and sharing them was a way of working through them and a way of dealing with them. And that kind of intensity isn't really part of everyday life for me these days. And so the kind of need to have some way to work through things isn't as strong. But I always, one of the big lessons I learned in the process of writing an email every night for a year was how helpful it was just for me to understand myself what was going on with me and to feel like even if I was at home alone in the middle of the night that I was able to reach out and be communal with other people. And I think that's always a good thing, whether you do it every night or whether you just do it every once in a while when the spirit moves you. These days I do it when the spirit moves me, and sometimes it's a couple of times a month, and sometimes I may go longer without writing. Now I still write other things, but you know, I've always written plays and scripts and things like that. But the sort of thing you're talking about is kind of just whenever I feel the need. So, does that answer your question?
Oh yeah.
Good.
I understand though, because I do that too. But
yeah.
Okay, I have to say this too. This is kind of embarrassing, but.
Oh yeah.
Well, when me and Ashley both read this book, I think I cried my eyes out more than I've ever cried in my life.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Well, good. My job is done.
Yeah, and
no.
I was wondering if it's odd for you to have someone telling you that they were crying over what happened in your life.
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, we're the very essence of this book is that, in a large sense, we're all in this together.
Mm-hmm.
That we can deny that we're all in it together, but the fact is we really are. We're all going to have blessings and tragedies and gifts and debts and all of the things that go into making up a human life. And the more we share those things, the more we share the good and the bad, and the more we relate to how other people feel, the better this life will be for all of us. And so I'm very touched and moved and hopeful when I hear that someone has been touched by what I wrote, by the experiences I went through, because it means that they're human and they're capable of relating to something besides their own situation. And the more people relate to things outside their own heads, the better off the world's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the guy who can fix it, but, you know, I'm trying to do my little part here. So,
yeah.
No, it doesn't surprise me. You sound like a wonderful person. It would surprise me if you weren't affected by it.
Yeah, it was like I was reading it, and I got to that part, you know, and then
mm-hmm.
I went upstairs, and my mother was, like, looking at me weird, and she's like, why are you crying? And I'm like, you know, just read this book. So she's going to read it, but actually my grandmother is reading it right now. So
oh my!
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I didn't set out to make anybody feel bad. I didn't set out to make anybody cry, but I did sort of set out to make people feel. And
they made me feel. yeah.
I think the worst thing in life would be to go through just so completely anesthetized and unaware of our own emotions or the emotions of people around us. I don't, you know, I think it's a good thing that we all don't just go around sobbing about every single difficulty in our lives all day long, because that's both self-indulgent and not very productive. But when big things hit, you know, it's a very human and very wonderful thing if we can find something in our heart that relates to it, even if it's happening to somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, I don't want to feel bad that I told you that, but I was just very deeply moved. I guess I could put it that way.
Yeah, I don't see how anybody could read it and not cry.
Yes.
You know, not that it, you know, hurt them, but it's just, you know, you can almost, you know, just feel how emotional it is because it, you know, it's not like most of the things most people read are fiction or they watch
mm-hmm.
fiction, you know, it's someone's life. It's your life. You
yeah.
know?
Well, it's, I hope that it wasn't just a sad, miserable experience. I it's hard for me to do anything in life without finding the humor in things as well. And I hope some of that came through in your reading as well, because I've always felt that there's no situation that's so dark that you can't find some humor or some gift of some kind in it, and that's part of being honest too, I think. I tried really hard to be honest with everything I wrote, and so I hope you got a chuckle here and there.
Oh yeah, definitely. It wasn't like we were crying for the entire book.
Mm.
It was like a journey of emotions.
Yeah, there were smiles.
Well, I tell a few stories about my daughter and funny things she did and occasionally there's the maybe not completely subtle remarks about various relatives. I hope there was a laugh here and there. Because that's the way I see life. I've been known to make a, well, for example, I mean, we had a huge memorial service for Cecily, and it ran for 2.5-3 hours, and people cried a lot, but people fell out of their chairs laughing too. Because we were there not just commemorating a loss, but celebrating a life. And that life was a life that had a lot of humor in it. And so it was a very rich life and a very rich experience I was trying to capture. And I hope that it's got all those facets and not just downbeat stuff.
I just seen a look like a branch go into your leg. That looked like it hurt.
Oh, is that this week?
Yeah, that's this week.
Oh, and see, it doesn't come on for a couple hours out here, so.
Everyone in the chat room is like, "Did you just see that?" And I was like, "Yes, I did."
Yeah, well. Like I said, lots of surprises coming on Harper's Island.
Oh, I can't wait. Sorry, Ashley. Go ahead.
We're like talking about how like emotional we are, and she's talking about a branch going through his leg.
Yeah, thanks for everything, really. I think he's okay.
That could make a person emotional.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah. Okay. Trying to jump back on topic. as far as your career goes, that you're mainly an actor, but do you think that you'd want to write more, like write novels? Because, we know that things were edited a little bit, but, even for just emails, these, were very eloquent and very good writing. Do you think that you'd want to put out a novel?
The hard thing for me is that, as a general rule, I find writing to be pretty hard work. And acting, on the other hand, I find, while I work hard at it, it's mainly fun. And somebody usually has to stand behind me with a gun pointed at my head to get me to sit down and write, but I enjoy it when I do, and I've actually got a novel in the works and an idea for another one, when I don't have some sort of deadline facing me like writing an email every night, It can take me a long time to get something written, but no, it's actually a good question because it's something I think I would like to do. Sometime around the time you guys are 80, I'm sure I'll have another book out.
Well, I look forward to reading it.
Yeah,
well, thank you.
Put it out there. We're going to read it.
Yep.
We can't get on fans of the TV shows, but we'll get on fans of your books.
Okay.
Well, we have 15 minutes left, and a couple of people in the chat room are saying they're going to call in. If you guys are going to call in now. Goodness.
Yeah.
How to run the show.
We have a couple of questions that people sent in, too.
Yeah, we still have.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we still have questions.
We have, like, so much.
Some of them already got answered.
Yeah.
Let's see. Susie from Virginia, she sent in three questions, and you pretty much answered the first two. So she wanted to know if you had any future projects that you were working on that you could share with us.
Well, I don't have anything that I'm working on. I have a movie that I did last year that just came out and had its premiere here in Hollywood last week. It's called Dark and Stormy Night. It doesn't have a distributor yet. It's going around to, it's been at the Palm Springs Film Festival and some other festivals, and I'm very proud of it. It's a comedy murder mystery, and so at some point it will either be in a theater or on a DVD near you. So Dark and Stormy Night is the name of it, and it's a lot of fun. I haven't, this past year has been so full of Supernatural and Harper's Island, I haven't had much chance to do anything else. And then this off time since we wrapped the two shows for the season has been pretty much filled with promotional activities for my book. So I didn't do anything during the off season, and now in about a month I go back to work on Supernatural. So I probably won't be doing anything. Oh. Well, if anybody's in the L.A. area, I'm doing a play at the Blank Theater Company's Young Playwrights Festival the last weekend in June. But you won't be able to see that unless you come here.
Yeah, I hear people buying the plane tickets now. I was in L.A. on go, but sadly that's a few thousand miles away.
Well, maybe somebody who's tuned in is nearby here, so.
Somebody will go see it.
Yeah.
We actually have a overseas call. Vicky, are you
there?
Hi.
Hi.
Who's this?
I'm Vicky. I'm from Liverpool.
Hi, Vicky. You're from Liverpool?
Yeah.
You're Liverpoolian?
Yeah, Liverpoolian.
How are you, love?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Oh, good.
Well, I just wanted to call and say I love your character on Supernatural.
Oh, thank you.
But we don't get Harper's Island over here, so I'm a bit bummed about that. But I'm coming to LA in a couple of weeks, so I'll be able to watch it then. I'm really excited.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I thought one of the networks in Britain bought Harper's Island. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But
you know what? We've got this channel over here called Sci-Fi, and
Uh-huh.
I was thinking it might be on that, but every time, like, I'm looking through it, I'm like, yeah, I'll look through for it, and I can never find it.
Oh.
So I'm going to get it when I move it and watch it.
Wonderful. Well, eventually it will be available on DVD, I know. I don't know if you can watch it on the CBS website there, but I know in the States you can see it online. But
I'm definitely gonna try.
Yeah. Why are you coming to LA?
It's on the 18th of this month.
You know, what for?
Just to visit.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, I'm just bought your book for my flight. So.
Oh. Well, that's wonderful. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, I'm gonna settle in and read it because I've got 16 hours to.
Yeah.
Read so.
Well, well, I hope you, from what the girls were saying, you should pack some tissues.
I've heard nothing but really good things about it, so I'm going to be sitting there with my packets of tissues.
Well, wonderful. The book has a website listed on the jacket, and lifesthatway.com, and there's an email thing there. So you know, you or anybody else who reads it and wants to email me and tell me what you thought, I really welcome that stuff.
Yeah, I will definitely.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you have a safe trip.
I will. Thank you very much. Thanks for speaking to me.
Oh, you're quite welcome, Vicky. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vicky.
All right, bye.
Get this last caller. 386, you're on the air.
Hi.
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 Who's this?
This is Kristen.
Kristen.
Yes. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I have no questions. I just want to tell you that I think you're an awesome actor. I followed you through Supernatural, and I'm 100% addicted to Harper's Island. It's paused in the other room right now. So I can't miss an episode. It's DVR'd every week, and I totally love it. There's like four people in my living room right now because we all get together and watch it every Saturday.
Oh, well, thank you. That's very kind of you.
We're all sitting here trying to figure out who's the bad guy, but you didn't give us any hints, so that kind of sucks.
No, I'm not going to help you out there. I'm not going to help you out there because I don't want the CBS ninjas coming over the fence and wrecking my house. So.
Yeah, changes every week. One week we're like, oh, it's this person, and then the next we're like, no, it's this person. No, oh, no, it's that person. So you got to.
Good, good. I think it'll be a surprise. Well, maybe not. Maybe you guys are smarter than I am. I couldn't figure it out.
And you're in it.
Well, there's a lot I can't figure out.
Oh. So yeah, it's a great show, and Supernatural is, of course, a great show. It's been on for so many years now.
Well, I think we're going to be around for a while longer. I had such a good time doing it. I wish they shot in L.A. I think Jared and Jensen wish they did, too, because it's hard being away from home this much, but... at any rate, if you're going to be away from home, I can't think of a better outfit to work for. And I have a good time doing it, so as long as they let me, I'm going to.
Right. Well, keep it up. We enjoy watching it.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for talking to me.
You bet. Take care, Kristen.
Well, we got 5 minutes left on the clock, and... think Ashley and Ange are still there.
Yep.
Yeah. Kira, want to pop in one last question?
What?
What?
The phone, like, beeped.
Oh, do you want to pop in one last question?
Sure. Ashley, you want to read one of the ones people sent?
Because
we have, like, two more.
Yeah, we have, like, six.
Are you sure? Because there's, like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. No. Okay. Probably the one that hasn't really been answered in so many words. Christy from Fort Worth, Texas, wanted to know if you weren't the awesome Bobby Singer on Supernatural, would you rather play an angel or a demon?
Well, let me see. Probably an angel, because the demons have to put those black contact lenses in.
Cool.
That's a pretty silly reason, but.
Between you and demon is contacts.
You know, I don't know. It's always fun to play a bad guy. Of course, the interesting thing about the end of this past season on Supernatural is you can't be sure that somebody's a good guy just because he's an angel. Mm-hmm. So, no, you know, I wouldn't care one way or the other. Mainly what I care about is to keep putting food on the table. And but it's, you know, boy, it'd be hard to go work on that show and not play Bobby. So, of course, how do we know Bobby's not a demon? You know, this could be a 5-year scam he's pulling on these boys.
Maybe.
I just made that up off the top of my head, so don't anybody go run off and say it's a spoiler.
Real quick, before I forget, can we like to ask our guests to say their names and you're listening to Vamp Radio. Can I get you to do that?
Sure. Your name and your list. No, that's not what you wanted, is it? Yeah, this is Jim Beaver, and you're listening to Vamp Radio.
Thank you. We like to open our special shows with all of our guests saying that in a row.
Ah. Well, speaking of guests on your shows, I want to apologize to you guys for messing up last time I was supposed to be on here. Because I got, sometimes I'm a little loose between the head handles, and I got all mixed up and confused and thought I had already done your show because I had another one the same day. So I apologize for that, and I hope it didn't cause you too much trouble or embarrassment.
Oh, no, not at all. People are still here and listening to us talk about the book, and now they're all coming back to listen to the show tonight, so it's perfectly all right.
Oh, good.
So everyone, Supernatural will probably come back on. Well, it will come back on. I think
mm-hmm.
in September for season 5. And so make sure you watch Supernatural and tune into Harbor's Island right now. Go to Hulu or CBS.com and start watching it. And believe me, what I just seen tonight, yeah. I think Henry's the killer for what I just seen.
Well, you still got a few weeks left to change your mind, put it that way.
Yeah, probably will change it next week.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for coming on tonight. I know Ashley and Ange enjoyed it, and I enjoyed it, and the chat room enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it.
Oh, very much. You guys are great, and I really appreciate you taking time to read my book and to talk to me about it and about all the other crazy stuff I'm doing. So any old time.
We've got 1 minute left, so we're going to say our goodbyes, and I'm going to tell everybody what's coming up next week. and all that good stuff. So we'll let you go, and hopefully you have a wonderful night.
Thank you. You guys have the same, and I'll talk to you again sometime. Take care.
Bye. Goodbye.
Bye.
You girls are so going to kill me, aren't you?
You have no idea.
My friend found out that we didn't watch it. I was like, oh, my God.
I can't help it. They were talking about the show in the chat room, and I was like,
Is this karma? Is this karma for me telling Jason Doran that you didn't watch Veronica Mars?
Oh, you're mad at me because I told him that?
No, I said, is this karma for me telling Jason that you didn't watch Veronica Mars?
Yes, it is.
I didn't do anything.
I loved it. I loved the part.
Yeah.
Oh, we're not streaming anymore. We can't fix it.
Well, if you stick on us, then that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah. But I love the part where he told you guys about somebody needs to invent this thing that records TV shows.
I'm like,
yeah, it's called
my
VCR,
DVR.
And it eats my VHS tapes.
That was so funny. But you girls really need it. Seriously, Ashley, you love House. You will love Harbor's Island. Go to Hulu tonight and start watching it. I mean it.
No. Okay.
You girls did amazing with the book questions.
The what?
You guys did amazing with your book questions.
Thank you.
Ashley, you received the book. You received the book the other day, right?
Yes, and I will start reading it the moment I have time. You're talking to a workaholic.
Okay.
So I told you that. I got it in the mail when I was on the phone with you. We're still on the air. Let Amy talk about next week.
And then you have to read that other book that we had for, like, ever.
Yeah.
Okay, well, tomorrow join us for Horror Night. I still don't know what movie they're talking about. We'll figure that out tomorrow when you guys tune in. And then True Blood Monday, where I have a lot to talk about because I have been reading the True Blood books, and I'm on book 3 right now. And I have a lot to say about Sookie. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I know you do.
Vampire tramp. Okay. And then Tuesday, we got a special. We're added another show, and it's going to be Twilight AM, so at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, join Gina and 3 brand-new hosts to Vamp Radio to talk about Twilight, and then Twilight Hour Tuesday, and then Wednesday we have a guest, and yeah, my phone's beeping, so I got to go.
Yeah. Everybody tune in next week for all the shows.
Yeah, tune in next week.
Happen. All of them.
Every single one.
No neglecting.
Exactly. Have a good night, everyone.
Yeah.
Ashley, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I'm like quiet. What do you think? That was good.
I loved it.
Yeah.
You know, I loved talking to him and that, you know, he didn't say one word for every question that we had.
I know.
He was very talkative and
absolutely the kind of guest you want.
Yeah. He's really great. But we need to get off before the show kicks us off.
Okay. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you for listening to Blood Bats Books.
Yes. Love our listeners. Come back again.
Yes.
Every single time we're on.
We command you.
Yes.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bonefish Grill is now open in the Concord Mills Mall at entrance number 2. Indulge this holiday season at our new location and celebrate with dishes like new lobster, crab, and artichoke dip, delectable fresh Oscar mahi-mahi, and miso-yaki Chilean sea bass. Pair these with the handcrafted guest favorite cocktail, the Winter White Cosmo, and delicious chocolate creme brulee for dessert. If you're looking for holiday gifts in addition to a great meal, receive a $10 bonus card for every $50 you purchase in gift cards at the Concord Mills Mall Bonefish Grill, now through December 31st.